Hello, my name is Andrew, and I'm with my wonderful co-host, John Spellman.
How's it going,
And
everybody?
hello, and we're going to be teaching tonight about the Sabbath, the lost day in history, one of my favorite subjects. And on this holy subject, let's bow our heads and kneel as we start our subject. And John, can you say an opening prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for opportunity to study your word and to learn the truth about your holy day of rest. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us through this study, and we pray that lives would be changed, hearts would be touched, and moved toward the direction of heaven. Guide us, Lord, as we go through these studies. Help us, Lord, not to speak our own words, but to edify each other and to glorify you first and foremost. These mercies we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay, John.
All right, so I have questions 1 to 3, so let's get
Yep.
started.
Yeah.
On what day did Jesus customarily worship? The answer to that question is found in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So can I get somebody to read that, Oval, if you wouldn't mind?
Sure, I can read that. Luke 4:16 says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read."
All right, so this particular text shows us a pattern in Jesus' daily life, or actually weekly life, I'm sorry. And it tells us that Jesus customarily worshiped in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So here we can see that Jesus went to church on the Sabbath, and it was his custom every Sabbath that he would stand up and read the scriptures in the synagogue. All right, so we see here that this text is showing us that Jesus was a Sabbath keeper, which is easy for us to understand because Jesus was brought up a Jew, and of course, as the founder of Christianity, we see that he is in fact a Sabbath keeper. The second question, which day of the week is the Sabbath? Okay, so since we established that Jesus, while he was alive on earth, was a Sabbath keeper, we also want to look at what day of the week is the Sabbath, so that we know which day he was keeping. And the scripture tells us in Exodus 20 and verse 10 that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Can I get somebody else to read? Andrew, if you wouldn't mind reading Mark chapter 16, verses 1 and 2.
Yep. Mark 16, verses 1 and 2. "And when the Sabbath was past, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre."
Okay. And verse 2?
And verse 2, let me see. Just a second. Hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, never mind. You read it already. I think you had a different version from the one I have.
Okay.
All right. So these particular scriptures are referring to after Jesus' crucifixion, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome were bringing spices to anoint his body. After a couple of days, the body begins to smell. So what they would do is they would anoint it with the spices so as to take out the smell. So after Jesus was crucified, they were on the way to his grave to anoint his body. And we see that the particular day when they went to do this was the first day of the week, okay? And they waited till after the Sabbath was passed. So in response to keeping the Sabbath, they waited till after the Sabbath was over, and then on the first day of the week, they went to anoint Jesus' body. So one thing that we can see here is that there is a seven-day weekly cycle. According to Exodus 20, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And then after the seventh day begins the first day of the week, restarts the weekly cycle. So we see that Jesus was crucified on Friday, Okay? And I can show you another text that that brings that out. Let me just grab it real quick. Okay. The Passover was actually on Thursday. I'm trying to see here if it's in Mark.
Hello, Jalen.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the study tonight.
Thank you.
Tonight we're just studying on the Sabbath.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, welcome.
All right. While guys? Hello?
Sorry, what were you saying?
Over here.
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking for a text, right?
Yeah, I was looking for the specific text. You know what? I guess I'll come back to it because I don't want to take up too much time. Actually, that wasn't a part of my notes, so I was just trying to look it up. But basically, when you read the scriptures in the story of the crucifixion, Jesus was crucified on the 14th of Nisan. In that particular year when he was crucified, the 14th of Nisan happened to fall on a Friday. And that's why when the Jews realized that the sun was getting ready to go down, they started to break the knees of the other two people who were hung on the cross, because that would speed up the death, and they didn't believe in killing anybody on the Sabbath, so they wanted to speed up the process in which they crucified people, so this way no bodies would be hanging on the Sabbath day. So as the sun began to set, they were getting ready to break Jesus's legs, but then they realized that he was dead already, and so they had the soldier pierce his side. And when they realized he was dead, there was no need to break his legs. And that's why the scripture was fulfilled, that none of his bones would be broken. And so the day when Jesus died was actually Friday night, and he died between the two evens, just as the Passover lamb was being slain in the temple. And so Jesus was actually a fulfillment of the Passover feast. He literally pretty much played out everything that Passover was intended to teach. If you look at if you do a study on the Old Testament and you look at the Feast of Passover, or particularly the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you'll see that the lamb is slain between the two evens, and that's the exact time when Jesus died. And you'll also see that they usually put the lamb on on kind of like a wooden stake. Jesus was hung on a wooden cross. And about, I think, the ninth hour, if I'm not mistaken, that's when the lamb is slain, and then the priest then takes his blood and continues the rest of the Passover feast. Well, Jesus died about the ninth hour, and when he died, the veil in the temple was torn in half, and the Passover lamb actually escaped. And so Jesus took on the role of the Passover lamb, and that's why, as Christians, we don't need to sacrifice lambs anymore, because of the fact that Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But anyway, I didn't mean to give a long history lesson on all that, but the point was that Jesus was crucified on Friday, and then he was in the grave all throughout the Sabbath. And Mary and the two Marys and Salome went to anoint his body on the first day of the week. And so if we know that the first day of the week is 2 days after Friday, and we know that the Sabbath is 1 day after Friday when Jesus was crucified, then what day would the Sabbath have to be?
The seventh.
Yes, it's the seventh day.
It has to be the seventh.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if the sixth day of the week was Friday when Jesus was crucified, then the seventh day would be what day?
Sabbath day.
Saturday, that's right. Okay, and then the first day of the week was Sunday. And most people who celebrate the holiday Easter, it's always called Easter Sunday, because Sunday was the day of the week when Jesus rose from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we can see clearly from the scripture that the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week.
Right. And another thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Right. Another thing we can use is that to show that the seventh day is Saturday. Historically, the Jews has never lost sight of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was a Jew. And according to Luke 4:16, the text we read that he, as his custom was, which is his practice. All right. So from childhood, come straight up, Jesus kept the Sabbath.
That's
that
right.
That was a practice of him, not only of him, but all Jews. Now the Jews has not removed from earth; they are still here,
mm-hmm.
and they are still in Jerusalem. And if you go there on Friday, you will find them preparing for the Sabbath.
That's right.
And on Saturday, they are in the synagogue keeping Sabbath.
That's right.
Up till today. So not even the Bible alone proves that the seventh day is the Sabbath, but historically, the Jews still remains still remain a part of them as keeping the Sabbath holy and so forth. So that if anyone wants to really find out, even away from the Bible, if there's a Sabbath day on earth that the ancient people still keep, they can go to Jerusalem if they want. I'll find out, do they still keep the Sabbath that Jesus kept? And the answer is yes. So that's one thing we can really use to identify that the Sabbath has never been lost sight of. It has been preserved from ages to ages. And the reason, again, that it has been preserved, it's according to Ezekiel 20 and verse 12, if we can look at that text, it tells us something about the Sabbath that is very important. Ezekiel 20, verse 12 and 20. Verse 12 says, "And hallow my Sabbaths, that they may be a sign between you and me, that you may know that I am the Lord that sanctify you." God says the Sabbath between him and his people is a sign that God has set them apart. And, you know, Peter tells us again that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So the Sabbath is what distinguishes God's people as belonging to him.
Not just the Sabbath, but I think that all the commandments, the keeping of all the commandments distinguishes God's people. Because remember that there are some people who keep the Sabbath and really just don't have any relationship with God at all. I think another additional evidence, if you want to go extra biblical, would be languages. For example, if you look at the languages of Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese, or even French and German, what is the Spanish word for Saturday?
Sábado.
Sábado.
Sábado, right. Now, Saturday, if you look at the Spanish language, the original name Saturday came from how the pagans used to worship their pagan god Saturn. Okay, so Saturday was actually Saturn's day. But if you look at a translation of the word Saturn in Spanish, it's actually Saturno. So it doesn't sound anything like Sábado. So Sábado actually does not mean, literally, if you're going to do a transliteration, Saturday. It means something else. So if you look at Sábado and you compare that to Sabbath, you see a striking resemblance. And so basically, the seventh day of the week in almost all other languages is actually called the Sabbath. In Spanish, it's Sábado, S-A-B-B-A-D-O. Looks a whole lot like Sabbath. In Italian, it's Sabato, S-A-B-A-T-O. In Portuguese, it's Saibado, S-A-I-B-A-D-O. And I can go on down the list. Even if you look at the Greek language, the word Sabbath is Sabato, okay? And it's spelled S-A-B-B-A-T-O. In Russian, the word for Saturday is Sibota, which again sounds a whole lot like Sabbath. So in almost all these other nations of the world, the seventh day of the week is called the Sabbath. And so if you were confused about the calendar, if you were confused about you know, anything else, or even the scriptural references, the languages themselves, some of these civilizations, for example, the Greeks have existed prior to Christianity.
Yeah, it's coming there.
So, you know, when we look at all these other references and how these languages point out which day is the Sabbath, the evidence is abundantly clear. So the seventh day of the week is, in fact, the Sabbath, and it's the day that we call Saturday. Any questions on that or comments?
No, pretty clear.
Okay. Third question. Who made the Sabbath and when? And that's where I think Oval's comment was so important, that the Sabbath was made as a as something that sets apart God's people. What was the text that you used, Oval?
He used Ezekiel 20:12.
Ezekiel 20:12?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm going to add to that Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Andrew, if you could read that. Jaylin, if you could read Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3.
John, what was the verse that you gave me?
Genesis 1:1.
Okay. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Genesis 2:2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
Okay, amen. All right, so from these texts we learn that it was God who created heaven and earth in the beginning. Okay, and we all know the creation story. And Genesis chapter 2 tells us that on the seventh day, God ended his work, his creative work, which he had made, and he rested the seventh day. And he rested the seventh day from all his work. And on that particular day, he blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. And I think it's so significant that the Bible says that God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. And the reason why I find it significant is because a lot of people may be of the opinion that the Sabbath is only holy because of the people who keep it holy. But that's not what the Bible is teaching here. Here the scripture is showing that the Sabbath is made holy because God blessed the day itself and he sanctified the day itself. And if you look at the Ten Commandments where it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. First of all, the word remember shows us that the Sabbath was in existence prior to God giving the commandment, and that's why the Israelites were instructed to remember it. And, of course, according to the question that we just asked, who made the Sabbath and when? God made it, and God made it in creation. And when did God sanctify it? He sanctified it in creation. And so the commandment continues to go on to say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sorry, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, the Sabbath is holy already, and that's why God instructs the Israelites to keep it holy. So it's already made holy by the fact that God sanctified it, but it's up to human beings to keep it holy.
Hey, man,
welcome back.
Yes, I'm here. Right, another thing again about the who made the Sabbath. Now, most Christians worship, you know, Jesus. You know, as the scripture says, there's no other name given among men to be saved, right, than Jesus. Now, who made the Sabbath? God made the Sabbath. But if you look at who Jesus is, the same one all Christians are supposed to worship, according to John 1:1-3, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. All right?
Right.
So what we look at now, the same Jesus who came here as our example, keeping the Sabbath, is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the
right.
Creator of the Sabbath. You know, so it is identified with Jesus in a close way, you know, as who really made it. He's the one. Colossians says, all things were made by him. Everything is from him. And if the Sabbath was made, as the sun was made, as the moon was made, as the sea, as the bird, as the bees was made by Jesus, the Sabbath is a part of that creation. You know, so he made it all.
And that's why Mark chapter 2 and verse 27 and 28 go on to say, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
Lord. All right.
And Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath because it was he
who
rested on the seventh day and blessed and sanctified it.
And blessed it. All right. Correct.
All right, so I'm going to let Andrew go ahead and take question number four.
Okay, question number four. What does God say about Sabbath keeping and the Ten Commandments, which he wrote with his own finger? Jalen, can you get Exodus 28 through 11? This is what the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments says about the Sabbath.
Exodus 28 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, now thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Amen. And John, can you read the Deuteronomy 9:10?
Sure. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God.
Amen. As we can see, the Ten Commandments were written with the finger of God himself, not just transcribed by a man, a mere mortal, but God himself wrote it with his own finger, seeing that this is important, pay attention, and it cannot be changed. As you can see, he wrote it on stone and not like in the dirt or something like that. He made it so that people would know that his law cannot be changed. And then it says, remember the Sabbath day, because as we can see today, as the world as a whole does not remember the Sabbath day, and God, foreseeing this in the future, he knew that this particular law would be the one that most people would forget, because it says remember to keep it holy, because it's a sign that we're his people. Also, you know, like what John was saying, is any law that any one of the Ten Commandments that we break shows a incomplete acceptance of our Lord and Savior. But specifically, this is the one that a lot of people have had a problem for, and this is where people need to pick up the cross and follow him, no matter what the cost. And if they suffer, like lose a job because of it, we can always rejoice that we've been partaking of Christ's suffering and suffer for the right reasons, because of our obedience and love to our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Additionally, also, to be a true Sabbath keeper, you have to keep the laws of God.
Yeah.
The Sabbath, again, is about man having a relationship with God, and God having a relationship with man. That's why I said that the Sabbath was made for man, and God blessed the Sabbath day, and the Bible says man was made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
In the image of God shows, again, interrelationship. You know, God communicating to man, man communicating back to God. So the only way we can really keep the Sabbath holy is when, even through the week, we walk and talk with God, which is to live according to his commandments.
Yeah.
That's the only way the Sabbath can be sweet, because we know we have, you know, lived and walked with Him. We have established His covenant even to others. We have set the example. We have become the light, the salt of the earth. So when it touches the Sabbath, it's a blessing. It's a fellowship, because we have been obedient to the Lord. So Sabbath keeping is not a one-day thing. It's a relationship with God. That's why it's so blessed and enjoyable.
Yeah, and I would also add to that, it's kind of like a marriage. You know, you can't treat your wife terrible every day of the year, and then all of a sudden when it comes to the anniversary, you're nice and you're sweet. It's an everyday thing where, you know, you're treating each other special, you're caring, you're showing your love. But, of course, on that one anniversary date, it's something that's more special than all the other days. And, of course, if you've been terrible all the other days, it makes it really difficult to make up for it in just that one day. But the one day is, in fact, special and should be just the culmination of that love and nurture that you've shared throughout the year. And in the same way, the Sabbath is a time of you've had a relationship with God throughout the week, and now it culminates on the seventh day where you have that special blessing and that special fellowship with your Creator God. And I just want to break down what the commandment tells us, because there's a lot of information in there that I think is important to this study. First of all, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. So here, God is telling us, just in that one part alone, the Sabbath is not any day that you choose. The Sabbath is not a day when you get to pick what time you want to spend time with God. He blessed in particular the Sabbath, the seventh day, and sanctified it. And so that's why the Bible says that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And now it tells us how to keep it. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. And then it gives us the reason. For, and that word for can also be translated because. So because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day, wherefore, or in other words, that's why, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. Now, just right there, I can make two strong comments. First of all, God created the Sabbath not for the Jews, but for man, and man means mankind. So God, this commandment here is pointing us back to creation, and it's telling us that it's because God created the earth, heaven and earth, in 6 days, and then rested on the seventh, that the Sabbath is hallowed. So a lot of people will say, oh, well, we don't have to keep the Sabbath, that was only for the Jews. Well, no, because the commandment itself doesn't point us to the Jews being the reason for keeping the Sabbath. It points us to creation. And Jesus himself said that the Sabbath was made for man. He didn't say it was made for the Jews. He said it was made for man. But then another part of the verse really catches my attention. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. How many things in Scripture does God hallow? We know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And here, the Scripture says that the Sabbath day was hallowed. And I think that's important, because there are very few things in Scripture, I think in all about three, in which God hallowed. His name, the sanctuary, and the Sabbath itself.
Right? Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that shows again how close to God the Sabbath is. You know, it shows that really that when man comes within this relationship with God, it really sets them apart as his, you know, set apart people. That's true.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the Sabbath is so important, and why we need to remember it today, because. Mm-hmm. It's the day itself is hallowed. The day itself is sanctified and set apart. The word sanctified, meaning set apart, shows us that it's a special day. And we have right. special days that we set apart for even ourselves. I mean, you have your birthday that's
right.
set apart to celebrate your birth.
Mm-hmm.
You have your anniversary that's set apart to celebrate your marriage. And here
mm-hmm.
in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, God has shown us that the Sabbath was set apart to remember creation, because it says the reason why they're keeping the Sabbath is because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. So it's showing us that the Sabbath is actually a memorial of creation.
Of creation.
And it's the birthday
right.
of our world.
Oh, right. Right. And it is to tell us again that, you know, we don't exist by ourselves. And we recognize that even the world out there, you find people becoming atheists and evolutionists and, you know, all these things. And these are as a result of man not remembering even the Sabbath, that God is the creator.
That's right.
You know, the Lord knew that the devil would have done this to lead people away from him. That's why he said, remember the Sabbath day. Because in remembering the Sabbath day, you're remembering the Lord of creation.
That's right. And
you
that's
know,
why I think the devil is trying to attack the Sabbath. I think
absolutely.
You're still right.
Definitely. And here as well again, by keeping the Sabbath day, it not only, as the Bible says, that thou shalt not do any work. No, we are, you know, look at the world today, or it is built up. Technology is going, it's swinging there everywhere, and all the glory goes back to man. If you really watch what is happening out there, God gets no glory. You know, because man is keep working and working and working and working and working. And this is one of the reasons God said, remember the Sabbath day. There must be a time we pause and say, and give the glory back to God, because the Bible says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the man who has wisdom glory in his wisdom. But all the glory must go back to God. And the Sabbath day is set aside specifically that the glory, everything that we have, goes back to God as the true giver. You know, so what the devil does, he leads man away from the Sabbath, that man can steal God's glory for themselves.
Amen.
Which ultimately go back to the devil himself.
That's so true. And I think you hit the nail right on the head when you talked about how evolutionists are always trying to say, okay, well, there's some other way, and they're not trying to give God the glory.
Yeah.
But to keep the Sabbath kind of flies right in the face of evolutionism, mm-hmm. because when you keep the Sabbath, what you're doing is you're acknowledging God as creator. And I love the text that often gets repeated every Sabbath. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made
us,
not we that have made
ourselves. Amen.
And so that text shows us that we acknowledge God as our creator. And as believers, as creationists ourselves, of course we're going to keep the Sabbath because we acknowledge God's holy day of rest when he took time out to just enjoy what he had done.
Yeah. You know, another thing I love about the Sabbath, that it did not, come into being after sin. God that the Sabbath came in before sin, showing that it's a good institution, just like marriage.
That's right.
Adam and Eve had a relationship with God, and they loved to worship him. And only, you know, everybody wants to worship God. But I think David says it right when he says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I think what is happening here is that like Cain, worshiping God, he was doing his own thing, yet saying he was worshiping God. And I think the devil still uses that principle in his people. So saying that they're worshiping the Lord, but doing their own thing. Because as you rightly said, my friend, that God says he blesses this day. And if I truly fear God, according to the song, where you lead, I will follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's something as believers we need to really get. That when God says something because we love him, it's a joy for us to obey him.
That's right.
You know, so we need to get that.
Sorry, somebody else is going to say something?
No.
Okay.
No,
I was going to add to that it's important not to look at the fourth commandment as a form of legalism. And the
right.
reason why is because, you know, like Oval, like Andrew, and the rest of us were saying, the Sabbath was not instituted when the Ten Commandments was instituted. It was instituted since creation,
not, right.
and it was made for man.
Right.
And when we look at the Sabbath, it's important for us not to see it as, okay, you know, this is legalism, and why do we have to do this? When God gives
right.
us these commandments, it's for a reason. And like Jesus said in Mark 4, the Sabbath was made for man. So that means that there's a special blessing in the Sabbath that that we can obtain.
Yeah.
And all of God's commandments, as the scripture says, are righteousness. All right? They are pointing us to God, to the character of God. His law is basically his character. And so when we have these things in our hearts, remember that we were created to be in the image of God. And so when we have the law in our hearts, that's what helps us to reflect God when people see us. So we shouldn't look at the commandments as, you know, just the thou shalt not. Matter of fact, this is one of the commandments in which it's a do. It's not a thou shalt not, it's a do. Remember the Sabbath day, that's a do.
There's something again we must pick up as people of the Bible, that to be God's people, you have to have a covenant relationship with him. And from Adam and Eve, you know, Seth, Abel, and all these men, Enoch, before Moses, Abraham, all these men had that covenant relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
No, Abraham was called a friend of God. All right? And many persons are saying that even the Sabbath came at Moses. It wasn't existing before in Old Testament time. And it was not kept. It was lost sight of. That's what they're saying. But it could never be true. Because if you look at the principles of God's law, for example, Abraham told a lie about his wife being his sister.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And even the king, Pharaoh, said when he found out that it was Abraham's wife, he said, what have you done unto me and my kingdom to let wrath come because this is another man's wife? No. It's in the Ten Commandments where which the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery.
That's right.
It's in the Ten Commandments that points out that Abraham told a lie. The Bible says thou shalt not be a false witness. So we have to see that the Sabbath was existing just like those other laws. In Genesis 26 verse 5, it says that because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So what we see here is that all God's friends, all God's people, they were law keepers. And as what Andrew said, that the law of God in general is nothing about legalism. Jesus said again in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Abraham wasn't trying to be married. He was married. It was a joy for them to do that. You know, God's people wasn't, Enoch wasn't trying to walk with God. He was walking with God. It was his delight. David even said it right. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is in my heart. So when
right.
God's law is in his people's heart, automatically the walk is going to be straight in his commandments.
That's true.
You know, so the Sabbath has been kept by all God's people, and this must be a known fact. Throughout all the ages, it has been one of the signs of God's people.
I don't think that the angels of God were scratching their heads in heaven trying to figure out how to keep God's law. And, you know, I think when Adam and Eve were first created, I don't think they were scratching their heads trying to figure out, well, how do I not commit murder today? You know, how do I make sure that they don't tell a lie? It's only
naturally
because of sin that keeping the commandments became difficult. Whereas in heaven, it was done naturally. And remember that Jesus came so that he can put the law within our hearts. And that's what the new covenant talks about in Hebrews chapter 8. It says that
right.
the law will be written on our hearts. And what that statement
right.
means can be found in Romans chapter 2, which tells us that when the Gentiles do by nature the things contained in the law, they are a law unto themselves. And what it means when it says do by nature the things contained in the law is that they do naturally, things that the law tells us to do. And the only way to do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit takes over us, we can naturally just obey God. We're not going to scratch our heads in heaven saying, man, you know, I sure hope I don't steal something today. No, it's going to come naturally to us not to steal. And just as those other commandments, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, were written on stone. Do you ever hear the phrase, it's written in stone? It's a reference to the permanent nature of something. And so since God's commandments were written in stone, that is also a reference to the permanent and binding nature that his law should have on us. And the law is not for the purpose of condemning us, but it's a transcript of God's character that shows us the way that we're supposed to be and the way that we're supposed to be naturally.
It's to bring us to Christ because it's like we see the law and then we see our sinfulness and we're like, man, we need help. We need Jesus. And then we go to Jesus and get cleansed.
That's right. The written law condemns us, but but when the law is written in our hearts, that's when we're keeping the law naturally, and it's not going to become hard for us. It's not going to be something that we're scratching our heads trying to figure out. It's just something that we do out of love. Because we love God, we obey him. And the fourth commandment is all about love for God. Remember that the last six deal with love for man and love for each other, but the first four deal with love for God. And the Sabbath commandment is all about relationship with God, like Oval was saying earlier. And it's a time just to reflect and to give God the glory because he is the creator. And that's not something that even today we need to scratch our heads to figure out. You see, a lot of times this commandment gets a bad rap only because people look at it as legalistic because of the things that you can't do on the Sabbath. For example, in it thou shalt not do any work. You can't work. Your son can't work. Your daughter can't work. You can't get somebody else to work for you, whether they be male or female, and your animals can't work. Your stranger that comes to visit you, he can't work either. And so people say, oh, man, you know, we can't do anything. We can't watch TV. We can't do such and such. But then they miss what the Sabbath commandment is really trying to point out to us. It's not about what you can't do. It's about what you can and should do. It's about focusing on your relationship with God, focusing on getting to know him better, taking time to appreciate what he has created for you. I mean, if you take time to get out into nature and you look at what God has blessed us with, how often do we do that? Do we really take time to appreciate what God has made for us? The flowers, the air, trees, the river. I mean, all those things that God made for us, we don't even appreciate. And then not only don't we appreciate the things that God made for us, but we don't even appreciate the creator who gave us the gift. I mean, every now and then you'll come across people who actually do get a chance to get out into nature and appreciate that. But what about appreciating the giver of the gift? If it was up to us, we would work 7 days a week and we wouldn't take any breaks at all, let alone to take time out to appreciate God. And so I think that the Sabbath is necessary because we need it in order to have that fellowship and that appreciation of God. It's a full 24-hour day in which we can just focus on who God is. What has he done for us? What is he doing for us continuously? How much he loves us? All those things are what the Sabbath is designed for us to really focus and reflect on. And we wouldn't take any time out normally to be able to do that.
That's true.
All right, Andrew, I guess we spent a lot of time on that particular question. I'll let you go on to five.
Okay, question five. But haven't the Ten Commandments been changed? Jesus says, I'll read this one, Luke 16:17, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle or one of the law to fail. So no, not even the smallest, a little crossing of the T or jotting of the I, nothing can be changed with, it's easier for the, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for anything to pass away from the law. So as we can see in Luke 16:17, the law cannot be changed. It was written in stone, and God's God's merciful for a lot of things, and where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Okay. Jalen, can you read Psalms 89:34?
What was the verse again?
Psalms 89:34.
I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips.
Amen. So we know that God won't break his covenant with his people, and he'll stick to what he promises to give us the grace to keep our, to keep his commandments. Exodus 21, Oval.
Exodus 21.
Mm-hmm.
Verses. Exodus 21, verse 1. There's one. Exodus 21, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus 20,
what should I read? Exodus 20, verse 1.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was Exodus 21. Okay. And God speak all these words, saying.
So, Jesus and God himself spoke these words so that we could really know a reflection of who Jesus is and a reflection of his character, so that, you know, that we can know that he is honest, we know that he is righteous, we know that he is holy according to a reflection of what the law says and how the law expects us to walk with him. That, you know, he doesn't steal, he doesn't exalt himself. He's a humble God.
All right. So, additionally, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead? Okay. All right. From what we have learned of earth, every kingdom or every government has a law, right?
Yeah.
And the laws are set there for the, we're talking about good laws now, for the benefit and the happiness of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no king without a law.
Mm-hmm.
No, the greatest of kings, you know, is God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he has laws for his subjects to make them happy. You know, many times when people think about law, they think about something to restrict them and, you know, to withhold freedom and all these things. But we need to establish here that laws are good. God has given us good laws. For example, where the Bible said, thou shalt not kill, it is saying that we must preserve life. Who would love to see, you know, someone kill your loved one, your father, your mother, your husband, or your wife? None of us would love that. Even not even your pet. You have a favorite dog or a horse or whatever, and you come home and see somebody eating your dog or your cat, you know the person who did those stuff today. You know, you'll feel so bad. So laws are there to protect us. And for example, even the fencing around of your property. If there was no fence there, any animal could come in and eat down the things or even people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but so when there's a fence, it says that there's a law. It protects who's inside and it keeps intruders out.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So that's the ground there that I must say that God has a law, all right, for all his creatures, and it is there for to make us good. Now, can these laws that God has placed now for the happiness of his children, his beings, be changed? Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we can look at verse 14. We're going to look at verse 14 and 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and verse 14 and 15. It says, I know, Solomon is speaking here, that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Now let's use 14 then, because it brings out the point.
Mm-hmm.
Now God has established the law that thou shalt not kill. How many persons in this world would want God to take away that law? If God took away that law, what would have happened to earth? who would remain alive?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You get the point? So if you take away the law, thou shalt not steal, up to today, from creation until now, what would left? Every man covetously would take what he wants, and that would make us all unhappy. But these laws, even the earthly government, they use them, and it has been for our good ever since.
And it's interesting that most of those government laws are actually...
are based upon God's laws.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, if a person should come and say that, you know, the Ten Commandments, especially the one that God wrote to his own finger card in Exodus 31, is changed or abolished, and, you know, sometimes persons use misquote this text in Colossians chapter 2:14, when it says, blotting out the unwritings of ordinances, taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Persons, I was just about to mention that text, actually.
You know,
and it's important to note that there were two laws. One was spoken
right.
by God's lips, and that was the one that could not
right.
be altered. And then there was actually
yeah.
a second law that was used as a teaching tool for the children of Israel. That's what we call the ceremonial law.
Ceremonial.
And the purpose of that law was to show the Israelites the plan of salvation. That was not meant
it's
to be forever. Actually, Hebrews chapter
right.
9, I believe, tells us that they were
mm-hmm.
imposed on us until the time of Reformation. But
yeah.
I guess instead of going to through a long study about the two laws, I will point out
right.
that the word Deuteronomy, which is a whole book of the Bible, actually means
mm-hmm.
second law. Deutero, second, nomos is law in the Greek. So
mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy is the book that's called the second law, and God had a second law which contained ceremonies and statutes
right.
and judgments, so on and so forth, that the
mm-hmm.
the Lord used as teaching tools to teach us to fear him
right.
and how we would be saved. But God's
mm-hmm.
Ten Commandments were uttered from his lips, and those are unchangeable.
Right.
And that's why
unchangeable.
Psalm 89, verse 34 is so important. My covenant will I not
right.
break, nor will I alter
nor
the
alter.
Thing that has gone out of my lips.
All right, I spoke then. All right, so Jesus said again in Hebrews 8, verse 13, that Jesus Christ is the same when yesterday, today, and forever. And when we look at the Ten Commandments, the first four deals with our love for God, honoring him, putting him in his right place. And the last six, again, deals with our love for our fellow men. Now, any honest, reasoning person looking at this, you know, these laws, as well as even spit for us, could never say these things have been changed or abolished. You know, and Jesus made it plain in Matthew 5, verse 17. He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
And he went further to say that whosoever shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. He won't make it there. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
And Isaiah 42, verse 21 says, the Lord is well
right.
pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will
magnify,
the law and make it honorable.
And make it honorable to the Lord. You know, so when I look at it, my friend, it is really a silly statement for persons to say the law has been abolished, yet they still need the law to protect them.
And it wasn't the Ten Commandments that was abolished. It was actually the ceremonial law.
The
only reason why that was abolished was because they were just the types and shadows that were designed to point us towards Christ and the plan of salvation.
Right. All right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Next question.
On question six,
right.
did the apostles keep the Sabbath? And
good question.
the question is, did the apostles keep the Sabbath? I have this little reference from I searched online. Did Constantine change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday? It was in the year 321 AD that Constantine decreed on the venerable day of the sun that the magistrates and people residing in cities rest and let all workshops be closed. And it was against the So the Venerable Day of the Sun was honored by Constantine in the 2nd century AD, and that was well after all the apostles had died in 90, I guess, Revelation was written around 90, 95, 96, and that was the last apostle that was alive on the island of Patmos, John. And so clearly, none of the apostles changed the Sabbath, declared it. And throughout the Bible, you can see where the apostles changed the Sabbath. Let's read in Acts 17:2, John.
Sure. Acts 17, verse 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures."
Okay. Oval. Acts 13:13.
Acts 13.
13:13.
And 14:2.
Okay.
Yeah, and 14, sorry.
All right. Almost there. Now when Paul and his company was from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down.
Amen. So we can see that Paul himself, he reasoned on the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I was seeing here, and there's no reference distinguishing in the Bible from a Sabbath on a Saturday to a Sabbath on a Sunday, because there was no need for a distinction. As we can see, up until the Apostle's time, Apostle John, when he was on the island of Patmos, which was later, in AD 95, 96, nothing had changed. Constantine had not changed the Sabbath to the Venerable Day of the Sun. And it, as we can see, it was out of Rome that this change started. Acts 16:13, Jalen?
And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman, which was... Am I on the right verse?
Yeah, you are.
Okay, which was right in there. Acts 16:13.
Okay, so... You finished? Okay. On the Sabbath day, they went on, they made prayer, and they were worshiping on the Sabbath day. And then Acts 18:4, and I'll get Acts 18:4.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 18:4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So we can see also in the Bible here that the Sabbath is for both the Jews and the Greeks, not just partial to the Jews, not just partial to the Greeks or the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
both for Jews and Gentiles, for the mankind. And because
right.
God sanctified it and made it holy, according to Genesis,
mm-hmm.
I think...
1 and 3, right? Genesis 2, 1 and 3, right? 1 to 3. As I mentioned about the Gentiles there, in Acts 13 and verse 42, it also says that when the Jews, and we know the Jews are real fellow people, right? He's by the letter. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath.
Hmm.
You hear that? And in verse 44,
on Sabbath.
Yeah. So the Gentiles now are coming on the Sabbath day to hear the word of God. Verse 44 says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God."
Amen. Amen.
So this is an established fact that after Jesus left, the Sabbath was not changed. They kept the commandments, the Sabbath of God. And notice it used a word again, the first one that you read, that Paul, as his manner was. And when I think about the word manner there, it points back to the word that was used with Jesus in Luke 4:16, as his custom was. And custom and manner fall in the same bracket there, which is something that someone practices. All right? So it is showing here that all the apostles, all the people after Jesus' resurrection kept the Sabbath. And by the way, before I move from this point, Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, we remember in Matthew 24, right, when he was speaking about the destruction of the signs of the last days and the destruction of Jerusalem, right? And Jesus pointing toward the Sabbath, and he said in Matthew 24, let me see if I can pick up that verse quickly. When he says, but pray he that your flight
be not in winter.
Right. But I want to find it, the verse itself. Matthew 24, verse...
It's from Matthew 24, yeah.
Yeah, man. Right. But we cannot quote it until I find. When I find it, I will tell you. But pray he that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. All right, that flight that Jesus was speaking about was the destruction of Jerusalem, which would take place 40 years after he would have left earth. Imagine, 40 days. And what was Jesus saying here? The flight in winter, which is when the destruction of Jerusalem would have taken place, in winter it would be cold. And, you know, it would be a difficult process in leaving at that time. But he mentioned neither on the Sabbath day, showing the sanctity of it. The setup, you know, how it is set apart as, you know, God's holy day when his people worship him. So if Jesus was going to end the Sabbath and abolish it and put it out of place, why would he be speaking about it now? That it would still be in existence 40 years after he would have left earth. It is to show that the Sabbath can never be changed. And when he was resurrected, on Sunday morning, if he had changed it by his death then, in sleeping, staying in that tomb or whatever, if he had changed it, he would have told his disciples that, listen, you don't have to do that. And remember that Mary and the other ladies there, they prepared their spices and ointments, and the Bible said they went home and they rested according to the commandment. Now, if they were doing something wrong, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, would have come and said, Mary and the others, you didn't have to do that because the Sabbath has changed. But he didn't say that. He didn't change it. So what we see here is that the apostles were keeping something that Jesus has fully set in place that would never change.
And he even kept it in death, because remember, when Jesus was crucified on Friday, he didn't resurrect on Sabbath. He resurrected on Sunday, which means that he rested in the grave throughout the whole Sabbath.
Just like creation.
And it also shows us that Ova was mentioning earlier the text about pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. You had to be keeping, not just the Sabbath wouldn't just have to be in existence in order for that prophecy to be fulfilled, but it also had to be kept in order for that prophecy to be fulfilled. Because if the Jews were in the temple on the Sabbath, then they wouldn't, and the Christians were elsewhere, it wouldn't be an issue. The Sabbath would have been in existence, but you know the Gentile or the Jewish converts wouldn't have been affected. But Jesus expected that they were going to be in the temple keeping the Sabbath. And that's why he warned them, and he told them to pray that their flight would not be in the winter or on the Sabbath day.
Right. Yes.
Andrew, you're going on
and
to...
That's Matthew 24 and verse 20. The text is Matthew 24, 20, right. That's
Andrew,
right.
You're going on to question 7?
Question 7.
Right.
Or was I doing that one?
I think you are doing that one.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, 7.
I got 4, 5, and 6, and you got 7.
Okay. Did the Gentiles also worship on the Sabbath? Well, we just talked a lot about that, so I think there's really not much more we can say about that particular question.
Yeah, but they did.
Yeah, so we'll go on to question 8.
Yeah.
Question 8 asks us, but wasn't the Sabbath changed to Sunday at Christ's death or resurrection? And we touched a little bit on that. We talked about how Jesus actually rested on the Sabbath in the grave, and then on the first day of the week he rose. Now I'm going to read some of these scriptures, and as we're looking through them, it's important to keep in mind that every time God instituted a day of worship, he announces it. He doesn't just, you know, say that the day is to be kept because he did some type of act on that particular day. No, it has to be announced. For example, when he created the Sabbath, he blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. And then when he gave the Ten Commandments to his people, he told them to remember the Sabbath. So there was a strict command that Sabbath was to be observed. God also instituted feast days for a temporary period of time as teaching tools for his people, and each one of them was announced. But nowhere in all of Scripture will you ever find the announcing of Sunday as a holy day. So most people who will try to say that another day of worship was instituted by some act that Christ committed, the argument is unbalanced and open to ridicule. I mean, Jesus celebrated the Last Supper on a Thursday. So does that make Thursday a holy day? Jesus was crucified on Friday. Does that make Friday a holy day? Jesus healed the guy that was at the gates to the temple on Sabbath. I mean, so if we look at acts that Jesus did and try to say, oh, well, this makes the new holy day, it falls short, and it's not a logical argument. So in order for something to be a holy day, God has to actually announce it as a holy day. Now, we only got 5 minutes left, so I'm trying to go through this a little bit quickly. Genesis 2:3 tells us, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And that was Exodus verse 11. Exodus 20 verse 11. Genesis 2:3 tells us, and God and sanctified it. So here, clearly, the Lord instituted the Sabbath, and we can't find a similar commandment to that anywhere in the Bible in reference to Sunday or any other day. Christ expected his people to still be keeping the Sabbath in 70 AD, like Oval was mentioning before from Matthew 24, verse 20.
Right.
And the women who came to anoint Christ's body after his death kept the Sabbath, and they didn't come to anoint his body until the first day of the week. And we find that in Mark chapter 15, verses 37, and then again in verse 42. Mark 15:37 is where you'll find that Jesus was crucified on Friday. That's the text I was looking for a little bit earlier. And verse 42 tells us how they anointed his body on the first day of the week after the Sabbath was over. Christ's follower Luke wrote two books, Luke and Acts, and he says that in the book of Luke, he wrote about all Jesus' teaching in Acts 1-3. But he never wrote about Sunday keeping or a change of the Sabbath.
Right.
So when you look at the combined evidence, the fact that nowhere in Scripture is another holy day instituted, nowhere in Scripture does the Bible ever say that the Sabbath is done away with. And as Oval was talking about earlier, the Colossians 2:14 to 17 is a really bad example because of the fact that it's dealing with the festivals, not with and the ceremonial Sabbath, not the seventh-day Sabbath that was spoken from God's lips. So really nowhere in Scripture do we find evidence that the day of worship was changed to Sunday. There were good things that were done on Sunday. For example, they collected an offering. They did the witnessing. They preached the gospel. But Sunday was not the day of worship. And I believe that we can worship God any day of the week, but especially the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was the day that God instituted.
Right.
And he, yeah, that's right. He set it aside and he sanctified it.
For that purpose,
so yes,
right.
We worship God every day of the week, Sabbath,
right.
Sabbath all the way to Sunday. But we also recognize the solemnity of the Sabbath and that it's a special day of worship. So just like we would worship any other day of the week, we especially worship on the Sabbath.
Right. Additionally, no, Sunday, as we all know, that it is only mentioned the first of the week 8 times in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
8 times. And none of those 8 times it is set aside for a holy day worship type of thing. It is always, maybe it's a meeting or, you know, gathering of things, or, for example, Mary Magdalene and others, they came to work. As Jesus said in Exodus, that in six days shall thou labor and do all thy work. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So we recognize that Mary Magdalene and others, on the Sabbath day, according to what God has said, that they should rest, they obey that commandment. That's why the Bible says in Luke 24:1, that very early in the morning, which was Sunday, they came with the spices and the ointment to do what? The work.
The work on the body, that's right.
And that work was a common work that you would do in a regular week.
And that's why they didn't
not
do it on the Sabbath
day. Not on the Sabbath day. All right? So nowhere in Scripture is the first day of the week mentioned as a holy day in which it is set aside 24 hours giving God the praise and the glory.
Amen.
Nowhere in Scripture.
And just in reference to how Christians, since Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, have been keeping the Sabbath, you can actually go to sabbathtruth.com. And if you click on Sabbath history, it gives you so many references to people in different centuries keeping the Sabbath all the way up to the 21st century. For example, there's a reference here that says, the primitive Christians had a great veneration for the Sabbath and spent the day in devotion and sermons. And it is not to be doubted, but they derived this practice from the apostles themselves, as appears by several scriptures to the purpose. And that comes from Dialogues on the Lord's Day, page 189. And this is from a Church of England. All right, another reference. The Sabbath was a strong tie which united them with the life of the whole people and the keeping of the Sabbath holy. They followed not only the example, but also the command of Jesus. And that comes from, I can't even pronounce the reference, but I'll try, Geschichte des Sonntags. And that's from page 13 and 14. And I'll scroll all the way down. There's so many references, but I'll scroll down to the last one, which covers the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries. And it says, from the apostles' time until the Council of Laodicea, which was about the year 364, the holy observance of the Jews' Sabbath continued, as may be proved out of many authors, yea, notwithstanding the decree of the council against it. That's from the book Sunday a Sabbath, John Lay, page 163. So we see here that clearly, according to the historical references, the Sabbath was being kept throughout the centuries, all the way up to the 21st century, and the day could not have been changed to Sunday, and wasn't changed. People didn't start to think it was changed to Sunday until around 364 A.D., and it was not at the command of the apostles, not at the command of Jesus. And that brings us to question number 9. Once we understand that the Sabbath was not changed to Sunday, and the Bible certainly did not enforce such a change. Question number 9 tells us, some people say that the Sabbath will be kept in God's new earth. Is this correct? Now, so far, the Sabbath has lasted up to the 21st century. Will it be kept forever in the new earth?
Right.
And the answer can be found in Isaiah 66 and verse 22 and 23.
Right.
For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So not only has the Sabbath been kept from creation up till Jesus died, up until Jesus resurrected, up until Jesus ascended into heaven and the apostles ran the church, up until from the first century all the way to the 21st century, but it will be kept forever in the new earth.
Forever. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen.
I think we went a little bit past 10:30, so we'll have to continue this study next
week. Right.
I hope everybody enjoyed it and that the study was a blessing. I know that some people are familiar with the information already, but I hope that we were able to add some extra details that could help you be a blessing to others in sharing this truth.
Right.
And
we all
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that repetition makes impression.
Amen.
Yeah.
So it's always good to, you know, familiarize ourselves with things because it seems deeper that we can have a strong foundation to teach.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
All right. Amen. So on that note, let's pray, and we'll meet back again next week, same time.
Yeah, let's pray.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Sabbath day, Lord, and the rest of your nine commandments that you've given to us so that we can have a relationship with you, Lord, that we can walk with you, and that we can really show other people what you're like and to let your name be glorified, Lord. Thank you that Opal came and Jaylin and John, and thank you for their friendships. Thank you for their interest in studying the Word and studying your truth, Lord. And thank you for the promise that in your Bible that says a son abides forever. He who is a slave to sin, he who sins is a slave to sin, but a son abides forever, and the truth shall set you free. Thank you for the fact that the truth is setting us free. Amen.
Amen. Oval, thank
you
again for coming out. And Jaylin, it's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, guys. Pleasure having you guys tonight.
Yeah. Same here.